This is Pastor Mike Parks welcoming you to Church 180's weekly radio broadcast, Turn Your Life Around. It is our prayer that through the word we are about to share, that you would be encouraged, enlightened, and empowered to get your life on track through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's get right into the message this week. I hope it's a blessing. So we've been studying these past few weeks about what the Bible tells us who God is. And one of the things we learned is God is a spirit. And what's important about that is God is eternal. And because God is eternal, we too can be eternal. That we can spend eternity in heaven. That we can spend eternity in the presence of God. Another thing about God being a spirit is that he has no physical limitations. That's why with God, nothing is impossible. It's important to know God for that reason. Another thing is we find out God is the breath of life. And the next thing we found is God is love. Now, how many of you could do with a little more love in your life? How many of you could do with a little more joy in your life? How many of you could do with a little more peace in your life? Then you need a little more God in your life. See, it's funny. Everybody's like, oh yeah, I need more love. I need more joy. I need more peace. You need more God. We need more God in our lives. That's what brings those things. Listen, it's amazing how many people spend their whole lives looking for love. In all the wrong places, looking for love. Anyway, too many faces. I was a country singer before I was a preacher. That's why I'm a preacher now. I'm just kidding. So many people look for happiness and joy. So many people looking for peace, inner peace. I want inner peace. They search for, remember on Kung Fu Panda? He was looking for inner peace. I got kids. I'm sorry. I watch a lot of cartoons. But what we need is, we see they're seeking those things, and what they need is God is those things. They need to seek God. The Bible says, ask, you shall receive, seek, you shall find, knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. What are we going to see? The thing is, if we would just learn to ask God for more of him, all these other things would be added unto us. That's Matthew chapter 6. Amen. The next thing we learned that God is jealous, that God loves us, that God must be first. And then the week after that, we learned that God is fire, that he's a liberating fire that can burn the bondage off of you. He is a guiding fire that can lead you and guide you, just like with the pillar of fire in the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he is a purifying fire. This week, I want to talk to you about, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7 still, only a few verses before what we read and when Jesus was teaching us about that we need to know him. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, it says, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? What I want to talk to you about this morning is that God is a father. Now, I know if I was to go through and poll people in this room, there would be people who said, I have the best father on earth. And there'd be some of you who would say, my dad was a monster. See, the thing about it is that some of the people who raised us, or even some of you may not even know your earthly father. And for that, I'm sorry. I there's nothing words can say. If you grew up with a monster, I that's just one of the most horrible things. Those people who have those bad experiences with a father who is not there, a father who can't be there, a father who doesn't do what he's supposed to do, you actually get a really skewed vision of God. Because you don't know all the things that God has for you. Because as a father, there are three main things that God does. He provides, he protects, and he guides. That's what God does for us. He provides, he protects, and he guides. In 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look at this verse. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, knowing God. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us
things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, according as his divine, this verse three, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. By knowing God, we are given or provided for all the things that were needed for life and godliness. God has provided for you like a good father should. Do you know in 1 Timothy it says that he who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel? Now, infidel means unbeliever. As a matter of fact, that's what all the jihadists call us. That's their word for Americans. We're infidels. We're non-believers. That's because we don't believe in Muhammad. But I'm not an infidel when it comes to believing in God. I believe in God. I believe he had a son named Jesus. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. Here's the thing about Muhammad. You can go to his grave, open up the door, and guess what you're going to find in there? You're going to find bones. You can go to the grave of my Savior, and you're going to open the door. Guess what you're going to find in there? Nothing, because mine got up. Mine walked out. Mine delivered us from death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Infidel. Anyway. But the Bible says he who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And God is not an infidel. God is not any of those things. God is perfect. And God provides for us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now notice what the verse says. Through the knowledge of him. Knowing him. Knowing God. Having a relationship with God brings us the provision that we need in life. So going back to things, see, in life, the things we, okay, it's pretty simple. We need food, we need water, we need shelter, right? That's the basic physical needs. But the human has a lot, the human form has a lot more needs than that. It needs love, it needs joy, it needs peace. That's why you spend your life searching for these things. And in God, not only does he provide for our physical needs, not only does God take care of us, but God provides love. God provides joy. God provides peace. God provides correction. God provides taking. God provides discipline. God brings us and leads us and guides us. And he does all of these things that a good father does. But you must know him. You must know him. You know, it's funny. My dad's here this morning. You know, it's funny. You can, there's things that I know you don't feed my dad. My dad don't like cream cheese. Yeah, there's a lot of things he don't like, but I know what, he don't like cream cheese. There's lots of things on the list that dad don't like. But how would I know that if I never spent any time with him? Amen. He likes to fish, right? I know that. He likes to go fishing. Why? Because we spend time together. We do those things. That is what I'm trying to tell you. You cannot know God unless you spend time with him. I can't get off this point. And I listen, and then you're saying, well, Pastor Mike, you said that last week. I'm going to say it for several more weeks until we all become to the point where we realize it's all about relationship. It's all about knowing God. See, getting to heaven has nothing to do with what you know and has everything to do with who you know. You've got to know God to get in. And you say, well, how are we going to know him? He's invisible. You spend time with him through prayer. You spend time with him in his word. You spend time with him by going to church and listening to the people that God has gifted and anointed to speak into your lives. You get to know him through talking with others and witnessing and sharing with them and them witnessing and sharing with you about God's goodness and what he's done for them and you sharing about what God's done for you. That's how you get to know God. God speaks to us. God talks to us. God does all these things. You say, well, I can't hear him. Well, you're not getting in your secret place. See, because not only does God protect us, or provide for us, God protects us. Psalm 91, verse 1. says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I want you to look at this. He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. Most people read, there are a lot of people who memorize. This is one of the famous verses in the Bible. A lot of people memorize this. A lot of people know Psalm 91. A lot of, matter of fact, you know, you guys know Kicks for Jesus that won the American Bible Challenge in West Union? They won $140,000. People from West Ministry in West Union did, won the American Bible Challenge. You guys know that? I know some of you don't. Some of you are like, wow. Yeah, ministry in West Union. And you know, to get a black belt in Kicks for Jesus, you have to be able to quote Psalm 91 from beginning to end. That's the scriptural thing you have to be able to do. And it's, you got to know the whole thing to get your black belt. And every time you get a belt, there's a different verse you have to memorize. This is the one to get a black belt because it's pretty long. And this is a famous verse. People quote this verse a lot. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. First thing I want to tell you is, notice it says secret place. What did Jesus tell us to do when we pray? He said, go into the closet and shut the door. What's that? A secret place. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That is a reference to a mother hen and her chicks. And that they hide under the shadow of their wings. That when they see fear, when a little chick is scared, what's it do? It runs and hides under its mother. And that's what it's talking about here, is that God hovers over us and protects us. But notice this verse, it says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now look at this. What is a refuge and a fortress if you're not in them? What good is a refuge or a fortress if you're not in it? The only way a refuge or a fortress works is if you're in it. For example, you say, well, what's a refuge? A refuge is a place you can hide. A refuge is a place that you can hide. You know, a lot of people have storm cellars, especially out in the Midwest, where, you know, in Tornado Alley, they all have these storm cellars built. That's their refuge. When the storm comes, they all go get inside the storm cellar because they know if they're outside, they could be taken away. And everybody runs when the storm sirens start blowing. Everybody runs to the refuge. But the refuge does you no good. It does no good for a farmer to have a refuge on his property when the tornado's coming if he don't run and get in it. A fortress doesn't do any soldiers any good unless when the enemy comes, they go get behind the walls. Amen. And just like that, God is no good to us unless we are in him. Do you understand? It says, in him will I trust. In him. You must be in God, and the only way to be in God is to have a relationship with God. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. So number one, God provides for us. Number two, God protects us. Number three, God guides us. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. I gave you guys the story I told you all before. It's gotten to the point with me to where when I go to do anything, I'll say, okay, God, where do you want me to go first? I literally begin to ask him. I begin to do this, and it's wonderful how it all works out. How that you'll go someplace and somebody needs ministered to, or how you'll go someplace and somebody, oh, I've been wanting to talk to you. Wow. It's amazing how simple the trivial things are when you just ask God to direct your paths. God, where should I eat today? God, what should I wear today? God, what should I do? Maybe you have one of the little cross pins, or maybe you have something that's a symbol of God, and maybe God's going to lead you one day to put that on. And when you put that on, you go to work, someone's going to ask you about that pin and say, what's that about? See, be directed by God. Let God lead you. Let God guide you. Because God, that's what a good father does. Do you understand? A good father provides for his kids. He makes sure they have what they need. You know, when we grew up poor. But that didn't mean we did without all the time either. We grew a garden. And you know what? My dad oversaw the garden. He made sure we had garden food to eat. If we couldn't buy it, we'd grow it. And if we couldn't buy it or grow it, we'd kill it. Amen. Amen. We always made sure we had something. Always made sure we had something. That's what fathers do. Fathers protect. I've shared this story 100 times. It's my favorite story for me and Austin. I remember when we were little, we were down at the ball fields at Manchester, and we were waiting on our turn to play, and we were in D-ball. Austin was in D-ball. He was a little fella. He was only about 6 years old. And they were throwing the ball back and forth. And out in the middle of the, between the fields, you know, where everybody was walking and going to concessions, they shouldn't have been throwing the ball there, but they were. And they threw the ball, and the ball got away from them, and it hit a guy. Now, you can imagine how hard the ball was thrown by a six-year-old. It really probably didn't even leave a mark. But this guy starts berating these two boys. One of them is my child. And I remember Austin had his, I heard it, you know, that radar you have as a parent. I heard it, and I turned around, and I see Austin with his head down, and just, you know, he's just head down, and he's just all sunken, and just, and so I walk over there. And I step in front of him. And I looked the fella in the eye. And I said, do we have a problem? And just as soon as I stepped in front of Austin, he went from this to. Why? Because daddy was there. See, that's what good dads do. And the third thing is, dads guide. Dads teach. That's what good dads do. But see, God is not just good. God is not just good. God is amazing. And that's not even a great word. That's not even a good enough word for what he is. You understand? God, that's not even a good, that's not even close. Perfect. That might be the closest word I can. God is perfect. And all those things God will do for you. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He'll guide you. But you've got to get to know him. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8. Now, see, this is, this. I guess I'm going to go here. God's leading me to go here. I'm going to go here. Do you understand that in the kingdom of God, unless you were born Jewish, and I don't know anybody in here. I mean, maybe you are. I don't think so. Do we have any Jewish people in here? I ain't talking about by adoption. That's where I'm going. But any, okay. So unless you were born with Jewish descent, you were adopted into God's kingdom. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, we are given the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for daddy. So you were adopted into God's kingdom. Now, I don't know if you know how adoption works, but when adoption, how adoption works is yeah, there's a time when the kid comes to live with you for a while and everybody makes sure it's kosher and everybody's going to get along. But you don't really get to know the people who adopt you until you actually go and live with them, until you actually become part of the family. And that's what, there's a time where you've got to get to know the Father. See, you've been adopted into God's kingdom. This is not something you were born into. This is not something that comes natural. I mean, you know, most Jewish kids know the Torah by the first five books of the Bible's the Torah, by the way. The Pentateuch is the Greek word, the first five books. They haven't memorized by the time they're 10. All of it. I can't get past Genesis 1. I mean, I know a lot of Bible verses, but I can't quote it all. I mean, no way. They can. So we come in and we're adopted into the family. But God is the perfect Father. Do you understand? He is perfect. Now, see, and I know some of us in this place today, listen. I'm going to go rubber meets the road right now. Some of you have no clue who your father was. Some of you had a monster for a father. And some of us, our fathers have went on to be with the Lord. But that does not make you an orphan. That does not make you fatherless. God is our Father. God loves us, and He wants to be there for us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to protect us, and He wants to guide us. And a lot of us, that thing that we feel like's missing in our heart, that thing that we feel like that whether or not we knew the person or whether or not, see, that's another thing. The people who have what's the word when the dad's not there? I can't remember. There's a name for it when they're absent father. When you have an absent father, you know, they're all the time searching. They're all the time searching for something. And a lot of times, if it's a girl, she'll end up marrying some dude like twice her age. You guys hear it all the time. She's got daddy issues. You've heard that. Why? Because she's seeking for something that's missing. If she would just realize what's missing is God. If you would just realize today that thing which you're missing, that thing which you're going through, that thing which you wish, that long for, you know, you're searching for love in all the wrong places. You're looking for joy. You're looking for peace. You're looking for happiness. You're looking for all these things. That thing which is missing is God. And it can only be found in a relationship with Him. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I tried that. No, see right there, that tells me you've not done it. It's not a thing you try. It's a thing you do. It is not something, it's like a doctor. A doctor don't try medicine. He practices medicine. And practice makes, I wish meteorologists would practice. Anyway. Isn't it funny? Attorneys practice. Doctors practice. Meteorologists forecast. They need practice. Amen. But just like a doctor practices, doesn't mean he's always going to get it right. Doesn't mean he's always going to know. But what's it going to mean is every day he's going to try again. Every day he's going to get up and do it again. Every day he's going to get up and go for it. That's why it's called practicing. Every day. You know, think about Joseph over here and his beard of many colors. If he picked up the guitar one day and said, I'm going to play guitar, and then he never practiced, do you want to know where Joey would be if he never practiced? He'd be sitting with you on Sunday mornings. But it's obvious he practices. Because God deserves excellence. And see, isn't it funny how our faith is, oh, I tried God. You don't try Him. I tried to play the piano once. Oh, I tried that. Well, the reason you're not doing it anymore, because you quit. They say, and I don't remember who they were, or I'd tell you, but they say that if you do something an hour a day for 5 years, you'll become an expert in that field, whatever it is. You'll become an expert. 1 hour a day for 5 straight years, you'll become an expert in that field. That's all it takes to become an expert. 1 hour a day for 5 years. Now, I don't know about you, but when I tried piano, I didn't try it for an hour a day, nor did I try it for 5 straight years. It was more like I tried it for 5 minutes for 5 minutes. Amen? But Pastor Mike, I heard your message, and I tried God. I asked God to take the pain away, and it didn't go away. So ask again. I asked God to do this, and I never saw anything. See, I told you, I'm going to get serious this morning. I asked God to heal my mom. Now, she got healed. Sure didn't happen the way I wanted it. You understand? But you know what? I didn't try God. This is not something I try. This is not something that I'm just going to see if this is okay. You know, there's only one thing in the Bible where God says try. It's funny because I was asked about this morning. You guys, see, this is funny because I'm a pastor and you're going to be like, what? The only thing God says try Him with is tithing. Malachi chapter 3. prove me now or test me now with this, says the Lord. Try me with this. If I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Tithing is the only thing God says try. Everything. Some of y'all tried that too, I know. Yeah, for 5 minutes, one Sunday morning. I tried that tithing, Pastor Mike. But the reason I'm not mad at God, because he didn't answer the prayer the way I asked it to go, because I'm not trying God, I'm practicing. And I realize that the coach that I'm practicing under knows a lot more than I do. I realize that the one I'm working for is a lot greater than I can ever be. And I realize that if I'm ever going to have peace, it's found in him. So I'm going to get up and I'm going to practice. Listen, I'm going to get real serious this morning. Do you know how many times, some of you don't understand. I just know you don't. But like when a brother or sister come up here for prayer and they say, I want healed. And I pray for them and I have faith and I do what God tells me to do. But see, God has a different plan. I go home and beat myself to pieces. Man, if my faith was just stronger, if I could just do this better, if I just read more, then people would get what they want. Then people would see. You guys don't have a clue the pressure. You don't have a clue. If I could just study more, if I could just pray more, if I could just, then I could take away your pain. I could do that. You know what? I can't. The only one who could do that is God, and he has to remind me of that all the time. He's like, I'm the one. To watch people come up here and, but see, I want to show you something scripturally. This is what God told me. When I asked God to heal my mother, he took me to something Jesus did. And I want you to see this. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus went to pray, he said, God, if it be your will, take this cup from. He asked the Father not to make him go through it. And he said, not my will, but thine be done. Do you understand that Jesus asked God for something and God said no? Do you understand that? Do you understand that Jesus himself, because God had a plan, and even though Jesus knew what was coming, he said, don't make me go through this. God still said, I have a better plan. Now, how many of you have been blessed because of the plan God had? And even though Jesus had to go through a time of absolute suffering, even though he had to go through a time where people mocked him, spit on him, beat him, nailed him to a cross, even though he had to go to hell, he came out. He came through. And on the other side of that, God, the Bible says that he ascended into heaven where he sits today at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. How many of you know it worked out for Jesus? He was told no, and yet it worked out. And I'm here to tell you today, even though sometimes we go through these things, we have a heavenly Father who loves us, and Father knows best.
I pray this week's message has touched your heart. If you have need of prayer or would like more information, you can call Church 180 at 937-386-0333. Visit our website at www.church180.org or check out our Facebook page. Our church is non-denominational with a welcoming environment. Blue jeans are welcome and so are you. Church 180 is located at 2556 Moores Road in Seaman, Ohio, right across from North Adams High School. We would love to have you come be part of our family. The services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. This is Pastor Mike Parks praying you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday right here on C103.